at certain points in theological history, there's been what I would consider a mistake made about the incarnation, the Christmas mystery. And that mistake, and there were many theologians in the Middle Ages that thought this, but the church corrected it over time. And that mistake was to say that after humans sinned, God had to fix it. And so he sent his son as a remedy for sin. And we resonate with that to a certain degree. We're very much aware of the horrible effects that original sin had on the human race, and we are aware of those effects still residing within us as we struggle with sin in our own lives. But what the church corrected was to say, actually, John's gospel has it right. That word that was spoken in the beginning, that was already the Christ. The Son of God, who existed for all the ages with the Father and the Spirit, at one point in time, the timelessness of God enters into time, speaks a word, and creation begins to happen. And so, word naturally moves toward flesh. Spirit moves naturally toward materiality, creation. So, yes, it was a choice of God's to create, but it was also of the very nature of God to desire company. Because for all eternity, there was communion between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There was never singularity. There was always community. And that community desires more community. And so creation is the response of God's love, God's desire for more communion. And so throughout these billions of years that all of this evolved into the various galaxies and the huge system of creation that is almost beyond our imagination by itself, even though it is not infinite, but it would seem so. It's so vast. And 13.8 billion years seems like an immense amount of time, and yet it's not. In God's eternity, it's nothing. And so God speaks a word, and creation is the response. And so the vastness of the cosmos gives glory to God, gives a response to God by being what it is. And in our little planet, the majesty of the mountains give glory to God by their height. And the oceans give glory to God by their vastness. And all of life that is teeming throughout our known world gives glory to God in its own way. But it has no choice in that. What's unique about humans is that we have choice. We can know that this is happening, and we can respond to that word by saying yes to it and by saying amen. Mary said yes to God's desire to come into human flesh through the womb of a woman. And because of her sinlessness, because of the completeness of her yes, she speaks for all creation in response to that word, and it becomes flesh in Jesus. We could say that all life, all creation, is one enormous liturgy. What happens in the liturgy is call and response, gift, the gift of life and love, and the response, yes. And that's what we're always doing here in the liturgy. We're hearing that word of God in the scriptures. We're letting it wash over us. We're embracing it with our minds and with our souls. In a way, we're almost embracing it with our bodies by standing for the gospel and sitting in rapt attention for the other readings. And our sung responses It's call and response. It's gift and the return of the gift. Liturgy is about recognizing the gift of life that has been given to us and giving it back to God in glory. So this mystery of Christmas, this mystery of the incarnation, is really at the heart of all reality. It's the prototype for all reality. That word takes on flesh. And one of the ways that works out here in the liturgy is the word that is celebrated at that table over there moves to flesh and blood on this table. And then it moves from this table into our bodies, flesh and blood, joined to flesh and blood. It's the gift of God remembered here at the altar and in the scriptural word, the gift of God told again and again and again, and our response saying, I want that. And I'm willing to give myself back. I'm willing to lay myself on the altar along with Christ as a pleasing offering to God. This is always true, all year long. But it's particularly important for us to reflect on this at Christmas. That word moves toward flesh, and that flesh takes on an intelligence and a spoken response in us humans. And so we are fulfilling our destiny. We are fulfilling our human nature. We are most fully humanly alive when we're doing this. But it's not just limited to what happens here in this room. It's our lives, isn't it? I mean, all life is a liturgy. All life is a recognition of what God has done for us. All life is a recognition of the giftedness of our being. And it's filled with our response, which is to have that same love for the poor that God had. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, the only time Jesus ever talks about the final judgment. There's no mention of commandments. There's no mention of church. There's only mention of one thing. What you do to the little ones, to the least, you do to me. It's not by accident that gospel we just heard tells the story of God going to the poor. The first to witness the incarnation are these shepherds. Poor, outcast, dirty and smelly, and can't do anything else except watch the sheep. That's all they're good for. And they're out there witnessing the incarnation first of all. And then the glory of the heavenly host joins them. It reaches out from that tiny little moment in Bethlehem of this small group of insignificant people in a small, insignificant country, in an insignificant galaxy, and a nothing planet. And yet the whole cosmos joins in giving glory to God at that moment. Well, again, that's liturgy. We're not doing this here by ourselves. We're joined with the heavenly host. All creation is joining with us in this, and we are welcoming all of creation to give praise and glory with us.